There are more ways than ever to listen to History Daily ad-free. Listen with Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, or you can get all of History Daily plus other fantastic history podcasts at intohistory.com. It's April 16, 1865, on a battleground in Columbus, Georgia, before the final days of the American Civil War. As night falls, Confederate Lieutenant Colonel John S. Pemberton and his fellow soldiers prepare to defend the city from approaching Union forces. 4 years into the Civil War, John and his comrades are battle-hardened, but tonight feels different than their past engagements. As the men ride into battle, the fate of the Confederacy is heavy on their shoulders. The tide of war has already turned against the Confederates, but the capture of Columbus would all but ensure a Union victory. As the largest remaining supply center for the Confederate Army, Columbus is key, and John and his fellow soldiers are ready to stop at nothing to defend it. The sound of marching cavalry grows louder, and the ground beneath John begins to shake as the two armies collide. The noise of battle is deafening. Gunfire erupts in every direction. John's ears ring with the sounds of men dying around him. As John tries stubbornly to resist the enemy's advance, he meets the eyes of a Union soldier and locks himself into a sword fight. John's heart races as he blocks the soldier's every move, but he's growing tired. Suddenly, he feels a sharp pain in his torso and looks down to see blood soaking his uniform. The Union soldier has stabbed him in what looks like a fatal blow. John tries to scream for help, but his voice is too weak. As his opponent leaves him for dead, John falls to his knees, gasping for breath, and his fellow soldiers are swallowed up in the chaos. While the Confederates will lose the Battle of Columbus, as this conflict will come to be known, John S. Pemberton will walk away injured and lucky to have survived it all. It will be John's last time on the battlefield, and shortly after, the nation's fighting will also cease. But even after the war's end, John and many others will find themselves up against a new, painful battle. The agony of John's war wounds will cause him to become dependent on morphine. While America experiences its first opioid crisis, John will set out to develop a better alternative, returning to his profession as a pharmacist, eager to create a cure for the widespread pain sparked by war and addiction. To this end, John will concoct a drink that he hopes will relieve the people of their dependency on drugs and alcohol. He will call it Coca-Cola, billing the beverage as a cure-all tonic when he sells his first glass at his Atlanta pharmacy on May 8, 1886.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you-know-business.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
From Noiser and Airship, I'm Lindsey Graham, and this is History Daily. History is made every day. On this podcast, every day, we tell the true stories of the people and events that shaped our world. Today is May 8, 1886. John S. Pemberton sells the first glass of Coca-Cola. It's March 1885, and John S. Pemberton is in his backyard laboratory in Atlanta, Georgia. It's been 20 years since John was stabbed by a Union soldier during the Battle of Columbus. A slanting scar still remains on his chest to his abdomen, but today it's well hidden beneath John's lab coat. Since the end of the Civil War, John has been operating a successful pharmacy while also attempting to produce the perfect tonic to cure America's many ailments. 2 decades after the war's end, there are still hundreds of thousands of veterans nursing lifelong injuries. In addition, Americans are now contending with a new sickness. With the country in a state of flux, urbanization, industrialization, and the railroad have brought hustle, bustle, and competition to civilian lives. The pace of life has sped up so drastically that doctors have coined a term for the new disease, neurasthenia, an illness of the nerves brought on by the hectic modernization of society. For many, the only way they know to soothe their pain and discomfort has been with alcohol or opioids. Addiction to drugs has become rife, and John is one of the countless men suffering from this expensive affliction. Beside him on his work desk, amongst the myriad of tubes and metallic stands, is a bottle of Vin Mariani, a wine drink named after its creator, French chemist Angelo Mariani. According to its inventor, this concoction is far from just a normal alcoholic beverage. It's a powerful health booster. It's been touted to improve mood, restore strength, increase energy, and inject vitality into its users. These claims have turned Vin Mariani into a sensation, with President Ulysses S. Grant and even the Pope sharing their love for the beverage. The drink contains a blend of Bordeaux wine with extracts from the coca leaf from South America. For over 2,000 years, this leaf has been chewed by South Americans to enhance their digestion and energy. But the ethanol in Vin Mariani brings out one of the coca leaf's most powerful compounds, cocaine. This ingredient greatly interests John. He read in the British Medical Journal of the drink's seemingly magical properties, learning that many in the medical community see coca leaves as a way to potentially cure morphine addiction. John has been searching for a drink like this for the last 20 years, and he has tasted countless cheap imitations made by wannabe millionaire entrepreneurs. But John knows there's still a gap in the market for a properly distilled American version, and he feels like the perfect person to fill it. He has the pharmaceutical skills, the lived experience of drug addiction, and another special ingredient that will make his version of Vin Mariani even more powerful, cola nuts. John has also read of the effect of cola nuts on the people of West Africa, where the plant is grown. They are a stimulant similar to coca leaves, except their principal effective ingredient is caffeine instead of cocaine. A single nut contains more caffeine than a cup of coffee or tea. And it is caffeine that John intends to exploit. He believes the apparent healing and energy-giving properties of cocaine, supplemented by the additional boost of caffeine, could have the power not only to soothe America's ailing population, but even re-energize them. But John has yet to find the right mix of ingredients to create a drink that's both effective and tasty. So today he's back in his lab, trying to strike the right balance. After a few hours of tinkering, distilling, and recording, John lifts what he feels like is the 1,000th batch to his mouth, blowing on it to cool it down. He purses his lips and slurps, smacking his lips to get the full flavor. After a few moments, his eyebrows raise, and soon he is spinning around the laboratory in joy. He's found the perfect blend. Not long after John perfects his drink, he begins a marketing campaign to bring his new creation named Pemberton's French Wine Coca to market. He labels it as an all-curing panacea drink that will bring America back to its feet. And before long, John's drink begins to fly off the shelves. In mid-June, he runs an ad claiming to have sold nearly 1,000 bottles in a single day. But trouble lies on the horizon. In just a few months, the anti-alcohol temperance movement will pressure the Atlanta city government to pass local prohibition laws. Just when John finds success, he will be forced to adapt or fail. History Daily is sponsored by Greenlight. I saw a short video the other day with a mother just agog as her daughter tries to comprehend that you have to pay the credit card company back for the things you buy with the card. She kept repeating, "Why do I have to pay for it twice?" And right then, I knew I needed to have a talk with my daughter about how credit cards work. I also figured if I want my daughter to really understand, I should get her a card of her own, and Greenlight helped with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of their spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. Meanwhile, your kids build financial literacy and independence by learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So don't put off the money talk. Start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/historydaily. That's greenlight.com/historydaily to try Greenlight for free. greenlight.com/historydaily. History Daily is sponsored by Mint Mobile. Increasingly, podcasts are considered in the entertainment business, and that means there are podcast agents, podcast managers, and podcast contracts. And after years of reading fine print and paying lawyers, if I've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. But is there always a catch? Turns out no, not with Mint Mobile. Their wireless plans are really just $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, because they sell online, cutting the cost of retail stores and passing those savings to you. That was perfect for getting a new line for my daughter. Resurrecting an old phone for her was easy, and Mint Mobile is just $15 a month with a three-month plan, no catch. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/historydaily. That's mintmobile.com/historydaily. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/historydaily. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. It's November 25th, 1885, in Atlanta, Georgia, just a few months after John S. Pemberton started selling his French wine coca. Church bells ring out as crowds of residents parade through the streets, celebrating the city's new ban on alcohol. Since the mid-1800s, the nation's temperance movement has been gathering steam, encouraging drinkers to resist the temptation of alcohol. Prohibitionists tie the drink to the nation's current social ills and have been rallying to rid society of its toxic influence. In Atlanta, these efforts recently came to a head. Local prohibitionists were vocal and insistent enough to force an election on the issue. And today, its result was announced. Prohibition was enacted. The news has induced a considerable amount of anxiety in John Pemberton. While others celebrate, he ruminates on its implications for his business. He knows he needs to act fast to create an alcohol-free version of his French wine coca if he wants to get an edge on the competition. It's a frustrating obstacle, but John welcomes the challenge. As someone still enduring his own morphine addiction, and whose son also now struggles with the same, a part of John agrees that the removal of alcohol could only help diminish the country's wider culture of addiction. But John also knows that cutting out alcohol won't single-handedly solve the drug addictions ravaging the country. Instead, he remains convinced that his coca drink could be another key instrument in alleviating the nation's suffering. So John returns to his backyard laboratory, determined to find the right non-alcoholic base for his beverage. But nothing seems to work. He tries oils and fruit flavorings, but they're all too bitter. He tries adding sugar, but it makes it too sickly sweet. It's only after months of trial and error that he finds his perfect base, carbonated water. Upon first taste, he can barely believe it. The carbonation balances out the coca leaf and cola beans perfectly. It's neither too sweet nor too bitter. John notes down the formula and sets out about creating his first large batch. On May 8, 1886, the drink is ready for sale. At a downtown pharmacy, John prepares to open shop, excited to debut the new and improved incarnation of his now famous French wine coca. He rummages around the storage room behind the counter. It's filled from top to bottom, shelf upon shelf, with bottles of his new concoction. Maneuvering past the towering boxes, John reaches for and pulls out a chalkboard sign. In italic, flowing letters, he writes the words, "New today, delicious and refreshing alcohol-free temperance drink, Coca-Cola." He places the sign outside the shop and flips the sign in the window from closed to open. Coca-Cola is now ready for public consumption. After a few minutes, the pharmacy door swings open. A young customer walks to the desk and asks to try a glass of this new Coca-Cola drink. John smiles and requests 5 cents for a glass. The money is handed over, and John carefully pours the dark, bubbling liquid. He watches intently as the customer sheepishly takes his first sip, and with widening eyes, the customer finishes the drink and places the glass back on the counter, immediately asking for another. John's new Coca-Cola is a modest success. Each day, customers around Atlanta purchase the drink from their local pharmacies. And as prohibition is more strongly enforced, John sees his new drink soar in popularity. But his success will be sullied by the persistent pains of addiction. Coca-Cola won't be the cure-all he had hoped for. John will remain addicted to morphine himself, as will his son Charles. John had once hoped Charles would be the one to carry on his business and continue expanding Coca-Cola's reach, but this dream will not come to fruition. In time, John will be forced to accept that his mission to create the perfect curing tonic has failed, and he will prepare to leave his business behind. Despite Coca-Cola's success, his morphine addiction will lead John toward poverty, and he will start selling off parts of his company to fund his habit, a need that will only intensify when John develops stomach cancer just 2 years after selling his first glass of Coca-Cola and finding himself at death's door.
When you choose Organic Valley, not only will you be enjoying great-tasting dairy, you'll help to save over 1,600 small organic family farms who are protecting over 400,000 acres of organic farmland and all the plants and animals that call it home. This is dairy you can feel good about. It's great-tasting, high-quality organic dairy, ethically sourced from small organic family farms. To find Organic Valley Dairy near you, visit ov.coop. That's ov.coop.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
It's August 16th, 1888, at John S. Pemberton's home in Atlanta, 2 years after he started selling Coca-Cola. John is lying in bed, suffering from the stomach cancer that has only worsened his morphine addiction. He is surrounded by his family, his wife Anne and his son Charles. John gazes at their faces, trying to absorb all the details of their features, but he struggles to keep his eyes open. Since developing cancer, John has been steadily growing weaker, and today he's the feeblest he's felt yet. He knows the end is quickly approaching. So as John stares death in the face, he is forced to reckon with his legacy. Coca-Cola is thriving, but John no longer has any hand in the business he created. After becoming intrigued with the drink, businessman and druggist Asa Griggs Candler offered John $2,300 for the recipe and majority ownership of the company. John accepted, and now Asa is mass-producing the drink to bring it to a wider market. But the fate of Coca-Cola concerns John far less than the future of his son. Even amid his own battles with addiction and cancer, his son's struggles have been one of the greatest sources of pain. As he lies on his deathbed, John pleads with his son Charles to take care of himself, not to end up how he has. It may be too late for John, but he urges his son to keep fighting against his own addiction. Later that day, John passes away at the age of 57. 6 years later, his son Charles will also pass away after overdosing on opium. Neither will ever see the extreme heights that Coca-Cola will reach after Asa Griggs Candler takes the drink to international prominence. Though the beverage will fail to fulfill John's original hope to help those like himself suffering with pain and addiction, it will go on to become the most famous soft drink of all time, a trajectory that would be hard for John to fathom when he sold his first glass of Coca-Cola in a quaint Atlanta pharmacy on May 8, 1886. Next on History Daily, May 9, 1960, the United States Food and Drug Administration changes American society by approving the first birth control pill. Thanks for listening to History Daily. But did you know that you can listen ad-free in the Wondery or Amazon Music app? Or for even more history content, including the entire History Daily archive and other fantastic history podcasts, go to intohistory.com. From Noiser and Airship, this is History Daily, hosted, edited, and executive produced by me, Lindsey Graham. Audio editing by Mohammed Shazib. Sound design by Katrina Zimrak. Music by Lindsey Graham. This episode is written and researched by Luke Lonergan. Produced by Alexandra Curry Buckner. Executive producers are Stephen Walters for Airship and Pascal Hughes for Noiser.
With the launch of ChatGPT, Sam Altman and OpenAI reinvigorated our imaginations and fears of a world with artificial intelligence. While the company looked like a stunning success from the outside, a battle was brewing within on what the future of AI should be. Almost a year after launching ChatGPT, that battle erupted into a war when the company fired its charismatic CEO, Sam Altman, from Wondery. Business Wars is a podcast about the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And in our newest season, we track the power struggles within OpenAI that culminated in Sam Altman's shocking firing, the chaos that followed, and what it all says about the future and safety of artificial intelligence. Make sure to follow Business Wars on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And for more deep dives and daily business content, listen to Wondery, the destination for business podcasts, with shows like The Best One Yet, Business Wars, and many more. Let me tell you, Wondery means business.